Well, good morning, Grace Church. Welcome to, that's awesome. Thank you for that bold greeting. That's fantastic. Well, it's good to see everybody who was able to join us this morning here in the sanctuary. And I'm also glad to welcome those who are joining us on the web. And I trust that you will experience and are experiencing the presence of the Lord wherever you are finding yourself this morning and choosing to worship. Now, before we get started, I have a couple of God sightings. First is, I want to praise God for the children in our midst. It is such a wonderful thing to see children when they're engaged in worship. This morning, as the music team was playing, there was a little person up in front who was doing this. And I thought, oh man, that's pretty good stuff right there. He's just catching the song, and he's right in rhythm, and he's just swaying back and forth. That brings joy to my heart. The other one that I really get a kick out of is a little person in the back who's dancing, you know? And I just think, what amazing joy, just dancing. It's probably extra energy I get, you know? But it's just so fun, you know, the music's playing, and this little person's dancing away, and I'm thinking, you know, that's just awesome. That's just awesome to have that freedom, and so glad to have little people in our midst. So that's one God sighting. The second God sighting is this. God is unbelievably faithful. And the evidence of that has been in the way that he has demonstrated himself through the giving of his people. Now, in this past November, through a variety of gifts and people giving, we were able to make a payment on the loan, and it brought the loan down to $30,000. That's amazing. But when we pay when we paid December's on December 1st, the mortgage came down to just above $18,000. That is amazing stuff. That is amazing stuff, especially in a time of pandemic. When we're split from one another and we can't fellowship like we would like and the like, and yet God is laying it on his people to give in this way. People obviously have a sense of where we're headed, what the mission is, and who it is we serve, and the greatness of our God, and they are giving. So we are within 18,000 and a little bit of change in the month of December, and we can pay this thing off. Can you imagine what a testimony that would be to the secular world, the bankers who provided this money, and the world around us to say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. So I wanted to share that with God's people, and I pray, I thank God for the faithfulness of the people who've been giving over years of time, and I also want to lay it before the people of God now. We're within $18,000. I bet we can do that. I bet we can do that. So just excited to share that with you. Now, having shared some of those God sightings, why don't we take a moment, just settle our hearts, and we'll offer up a word of prayer. And we're going to ask the Spirit of God to be present for us this morning and guide us as we spend some time in his word. So let's just pray. Father God, you are amazing. You are awesome. You are the giver of all good gifts, and you have been at work, and you have been inspiring your people to give. And for that, we are very thankful. And Father, we are thankful for the presence of little people in our midst. Little people who are unhindered by you know, regular social convention. They just dance, and they sway, and they enjoy being in the house of God. And I'm so thankful for that. What an encouragement that is to me to see people just indulge themselves in that moment, in the music. Indulge themselves in the presence of the God. And Father, I thank you for the grace that you pour out on us. I thank you for your word that's living and active. I thank you that you didn't leave us on our own, but you provided the Holy Spirit to guide and guard us and direct us back to the Christ, convicting us of sin and drawing us to the one who has settled it. Oh, Father, you are awesome. So as we come to you now, we pray that your Spirit would be active in our listening to the word, and that, Father, you would take these thoughts and these meditations of my heart, and I pray, Father, that you would use them in some way, that you would speak very individually to each of us and draw us to that which you have for us. Father, may your Spirit magnify whatever weakness is in the words, and may you be glorified in the lives of those who take what they hear and use it. And allow themselves to be grown in their love for you. So we entrust this time to you with thanksgiving and praise. Amen and amen. So here's the thing. I was thankful for those some of that news we received, not only about the mortgage, but also the encouragement of little kids in our midst. Because the truth is, I've been finding myself feeling rather restless these past couple of weeks. Sort of like Bilbo Baggins from Tolkien's book, you know, The Fellowship of the Ring. When he tells the wizard Gandalf, he says, you know, I feel thin. I feel rather stretched, you know, like butter scraped over too much bread. I love that image. And I think I've been feeling that way for a couple of reasons. First, there's sort of a low-grade tension playing out these days as we live life in this COVID season. I was going to say low-grade fever, and then I thought everybody would panic, you know? But you know, like with a low-grade fever or a low-grade tension, you know how it eats at you over time? It's not something that hammers you in one fell swoop. It's just like, it's like a constant. It just keeps needling at you like a headache. And I found it harder to be patient with not having any answers. This is a year that, I mean, that I've been besieged by questions about what if and what, you know, what should and what could. And after a while, I run out of answers, and I find myself just saying, I don't know. And then the things that are normally pretty easy to accomplish, I have found not so easy, having to figure out workarounds to things. You know, that's fun the first couple of times, kind of exciting. Figure out, okay, let's be clever. Let's see if we can figure this one out. And then the next one comes, and the next one comes, and the next one comes, and pretty soon you're saying, I don't care if we make it. I just don't care. You know, if we make it, we make it. You know what I'm talking about, Ian? Like, just like, whatever. And then on top of that, there's this continuing tumult on the political end. It just goes on and on and on. You know, I just want to be done. Just be done. You know? And then on top of all of that, then there's the holidays and all that comes with them. It's a wonderful season for folks. I get that, but it brings with it a pace that can leave people feeling tired and really rather frazzled in the best of times. But you add to that the concern about potential shutdowns and wondering if we're going to be able to meet with family and then questioning every time you have a sneeze or an earache or anything and thinking to yourself, oh my stars, I must have the COVID. And figuring out what your next move should be. Should I talk to anyone on the phone for fear that they'll catch it over the phone? Okay. So there can be, if I take all of those pieces, there can be in this season of peace very, very little peace to be found. Now, I hope that's not just my experience. I mean, I hope that's not your experience. I know it's mine. And if you are feeling that way, can I just say this? I want to tell you that you're not alone. You're not alone. And it's not unfaithful to feel tension. It's not unfaithful to be craving for peace. It's not unfaithful to feel the stress of these days. And when I'm feeling anxious, and when I'm lacking peace, inevitably the Holy Spirit draws me back to the Scriptures. Because it's there that I ground my heart and my mind in what is true, noble, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable, and excellent, and praiseworthy. It's the Spirit that leads me back to truth so that I can be secured against the stuff that pushes me about. And I've learned over time, there's no better anchor for me when I'm feeling troubled or burdened or restless than the Word of God. Amen? Amen? So as I looked into the Word, I found myself drawn to one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. It's a priestly blessing that's found in the book of Numbers. So that's in chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. And if you've got your Bible, this might be a great time for you to open up and look at that. If you're not familiar with the book of Numbers, no worries. It's in front of your Bible. It's the fourth book, starting with Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. So go to Genesis, and then Exodus, and Leviticus, and then Numbers, and you'll find it. So it's Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. Now I know, for the purist out there, I know that that this passage isn't typically associated with Advent or the Christmas season. I get that. But I still found myself drawn to it, especially as I thought on the peace of God, that peace that we noted when the McBroom family lit the candle of peace at the start of the service. And I think it's because in this passage from Numbers, I see in this blessing that was spoken to the people of Israel, I see it in a picture of a blessing that came in its totality, in its finality, in the birth and life and then eventual death of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to take some time to just look at this passage. Now, by way of background, the book of Numbers is the book of wanderings. In it, Moses describes the experiences of the people of Israel in the wilderness. Just 13 months after they had been rescued from their enslavement to the Egyptians. Here in these pages, we read about the painful process of testing and maturation that the people of Israel experienced as they made their way through the wilderness. And as they continued to go from being tested and matured, and as they continued to rebel and as they continued to obey, back and forth they go in the pages of Numbers. They follow God for a while and then they pull away. And as such, they are pushed and pulled and changed and grown and challenged, and a whole host of things go on. And in the chapters that precede chapter 6, God was working through his prophet Moses to organize the people and kind of prepare them for what was coming. And as part of this preparation, it says this. So if you found it, take a moment and we'll read it through. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites.'" The Lord said to Moses, this isn't a blessing of the priest. This is a blessing that God is telling the priests to give to the people of Israel. "Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Now I love the sound of these words. They're a glorious invocation of God's blessing upon all his people. Know this, that when they offered a blessing, it was as if they were actually invoking the name of the Lord God in that moment. They were actually calling the Lord to be involved in their lives in that moment. And I suppose it's the beauty and the power of these words that draws us to use them so often at the close of worship services. So often I have found myself drawn to these words at the close of a funeral service. It's a way to remind people of God's presence. And what encourages my heart in these words, and I trust that it will encourage yours, is how the prayer demonstrates God's engagement in the lives of his people. You see, he's not only rescued them from slavery in Egypt, and he's not only parted the Red Sea so they could walk on dry land, and brought them to Mount Sinai where he gave them his law to show them how to live as free people. But now as they make their way through the wilderness to the promised land, now he's telling Moses and Aaron and Aaron's sons to use this pronouncement of blessing as to be a constant reminder of God's goodwill toward his people. As Aaron and his sons and the priests of Israel pronounced God's holy blessing on his people, God was using it to reinforce again and again the truth that he is for them. These are the words of a God who is for them. And with each stanza, the emphasis is placed upon what the Lord is doing, not what people can do, but what the Lord is doing. And it's interesting because as it focuses on the Lord, it focuses on the Lord as the source of all these blessings. He is the source of grace. He is the source of peace. And notice that it is the Lord God who wants to pour them out upon his people. Brothers and sisters, the truth is that we don't serve a God who is withholding. We serve a God who desires to indulge himself in us, to pour himself out in us. And what greater gift could God give than to give us more of himself, that we might indulge ourselves in him? What an awesome God we serve. And with each successive pronouncement of this blessing, there's a sort of cascading effect, a sort of unfolding of greater and greater blessing that's occurring. It's an ever-growing promise. It's a promise of his presence and the sort that sort of crescendos with God's peace and his name resting upon them. And notice how the blessing of God unfolds, how it unfolds in the words of this invocation. Aaron and the sons declare this. Can we switch the... Aaron and his sons are told to say this: "The Lord bless you and keep you." Now the word blessing incorporates a lot of ideas. It's kind of hard to narrow down specifically what blessing means. Linguists tell us that the word literally means to kneel. That is, it's a picture of a person of lesser authority leaning down, bending down, lowering themselves to receive the benevolence of someone greater. And in the Bible, God's blessing could include having lots of descendants. It could include having a fruitful land. It could include good health. It could include good life and protection from enemies and God's abiding presence. All of that could be incorporated in the notion of blessing. In our day and age, blessing is also often associated just with two things: my good health and my making money. You listen to TV sometimes, and the emphasis on God's blessing is always on my good health and my making money. Oh, but dear ones, it's so much better than that. It's so much bigger than that. In many ways, God's blessing speaks of our being privileged to live under the protective umbrella of God's abiding presence. It talks about us being recipients of his abundant provision, not simply in our health and not simply in money, but in all the things that we deal with in this life, all of the challenges that come our way. And it's the promise of his presence and the promise of his provision that keeps them, that is, that secures them through all that comes at them. When I think of a keep, I think of a castle. You know how castles used to have a keep, and then they would surround it with the walls. Well, picture ourselves being kept by God, but we are surrounded by his abundance. We're surrounded by his power. We're surrounded by his sovereignty. There's a fortress I want to stay in. I'm reminded of that image in the New Testament where God, Jesus, holds us in his hand, and God holds Jesus in his hand. Can you think of any better and more secure place to be? And I think it's a power that's lost in our days. God wants to secure us. And it's because of his blessing, of his presence, that we and that secures us and guards us, that we're able to receive yet another blessing, an even greater blessing. God says to tell his people this. He says, "The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you." Having been secured, having been set apart, now God pours out his grace upon us. And when God speaks of making his face shine upon them, he's speaking to them in a very familial way. He's speaking of an intimacy of relationship that he has with his people. It might be likened, at least in my mind, it might be likened to the way Kent and Amanda are going to look at their newborn. Because as spent as they're going to be, I'm betting that what's going to shine out of them is a radiance of reception and love that will wondrously express their great, great love for that little one. And it's going to express their desire to provide for their beloved child the best they can offer. God says of himself, "The Lord make his face to shine on you." And the way that his face shines upon them, the way that he makes that intimacy known with them, The way he makes the grandeur of his love demonstrable to them is by being gracious to them. He doesn't seek to treat them as they deserve. If that was the case, the people of Israel would have been lost long ago. No, instead, he seeks to indulge himself upon them, despite what they deserve. Because that's the nature of grace. That's the nature of grace. Grace is God's unwarranted favor. And God brings glory to himself as he acts graciously for the benefit of his people. His blessing of promise and presence and security provides for an intimacy of relationship that shows itself in his being gracious to them and to us. And that unfolds into the next blessing. Take a look. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. If it wasn't for God's presence and his provision of grace, there would be no way for us to have peace with him. God promises to bless them, and God promises to secure them, and it serves to ensure that he is going to remain engaged with them. And this blessing is made evident in the outpouring of his unmerited grace. And with that grace received, the people upon whom his favor rests are blessed as they experience peace with God. This is a peace that's so much more, it's so much greater than the absence of strife. This is a peace that is God's shalom. It is a peace that speaks of experiencing a state of rightness and fullness and well-being before God, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of what we stand against. This is God's peace that passes all understanding. Have you ever experienced that? In the midst of an enormous struggle and challenge, to just have this sense that God is sovereign. God is here. I have seen many, many people over the years who can say they've had a tangible sense of that peace that passes all understanding. The world around them is going nuts. And yet, they are able to fix themselves upon Christ and allow his peace to overwhelm them and see them through what the rest of the world would say is nuts. How do you do it? Well, I don't. That's usually the answer. I don't. There's something at work in me that allows me to feel this way. And when God looks upon man in peace, men and women are free to look back at him, and we are free to be able to find our greatest joy in being fulfilled in him. It is God's promise of his presence that leads to the outpouring of grace. And it's this grace that allows for us to have peace with him. And when we are at peace with him, then it can be said that his people bear his name. God says, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." You see, once we are at peace with God, we are those who bear his name. Just as the Israelites bore his name. And his people who bear his name are set apart for his purposes. We are to be the instruments upon which he plays this love song of his blessing upon the nations of the world. Just as it says in Genesis 12, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You and I, having been secured and blessed by his grace and blessed by having peace with God, an intimacy with God that can only be gotten by God working in us, now have his name placed upon us. We have the promised Holy Spirit that rests in us and allows us to be instruments used for his glory. It's an amazing thought. I'm sure many of you have had times when you've heard our brother Paul play the piano quietly behind us. And there are times in which you can actually hear the prayer of Paul's heart as it comes through his fingers into that instrument and out into the congregation. We have that same blessing for each and every one of us. The Spirit of God at work in us, working through our gifts and talents in whatever way we've been designed, that we are that instrument that speaks out into the world of what He's doing within us. What a glorious privilege that is. What an awesome gift it is to be the instrument upon which He plays. And in this passage, we see the Lord's special covenantal relationship with Israel. But it's also a picture of the relationship He has with His people, us, the church, through the work of Jesus Christ. Because it's through Jesus that we have received the final and tangible expression of God, having turned His face toward His people and showing us His fullness in the person of Jesus. It's like in Jesus we experience God's smile. So in this Advent season, my mind was turned to the great blessing pronounced upon God's people oh so very, very long ago. It was God's words to be pronounced over His people in their moment of time. But as I said at the start, in it I see the fullness. In it I see the fullness spoken to the people of Israel, finally and completely fulfilled with the birth of Jesus. In the birth of Jesus, the Lord announced His greatest and final blessing upon us. And by His life and eventual sacrificial death, we received the promise that we would be kept. Not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but we would be kept for all eternity. And within His abiding presence, we would be utterly and completely secure. And in the birth of Jesus, we have the greatest display of God's fatherly, benevolent love. It was in Jesus that God smiled down upon us and made His face to shine upon us, and it was through Jesus that God demonstrated the great provision of His grace as He loved the world by giving us His one and only Son. And finally, in the gracious act of the coming of Jesus, the way to true peace with God was finally secured. For all of those who respond to God's word and favor, we are the ones upon whom His favor will rest. God has placed His Spirit within us as the mark that we are His. And in that way, we now bear His name upon our lives. When we light the candle of peace, I find myself praising the one from whom all blessings flow, to whom all grace flows, to whom all peace flows without end. And I praise Him for a prayerful reminder, a prayer that provided and pronounced long ago and that foreshadowed the fulfillment of His blessing upon all people through the child born in Bethlehem. And as I think on that, and I revel in His never-ending blessing, then I find myself able to sing along with the angelic host, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Dear ones, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And He has. And He has in Jesus. Here's looking forward to Christmas morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for your love and Your mercy and the greatness of Your holy name. And I thank You for this blessing as I hear You pour Yourself out upon us. Father, we want to entrust ourselves to You in these days. May Your name be praised through us, and may we know that peace that passes all understanding. Amen.